little different Sunday. But that's okay. Not an ordinary Sunday. The song she was just playing, you may not recognize it, may not know the words, but it says, I won't be satisfied with anything ordinary. Won't be satisfied at all. Open up the sky. Fall down like rain. We don't want anything but you. We want blessings. We don't want blessings. We want you. You know, and truth is, sometimes we do. We ask for blessings. We pray for blessings. But do we want the blessings more than we want Jesus? Oh, I hope not. I hope not. Thank you. Thank you. We've had a few difficulties this morning, and our praise team has just fought right through it, and thank you so much for that. Rebecca's out of town. Pray for me. Zachary broke a string up here on his guitar, and so Fran was pulling the weight over there, and she did a fantastic job. Thank you so much. Memorial. Yes. Memorial. Tomorrow is Memorial Day. What does memorial mean? I looked up a few words. Memorial. Anything meant to help people remember some person or event, such as a monument, a holiday, etc. Okay? It's meant to provoke a memory of some sort. Okay? Memorial Day is a legal holiday in the United States in memory of the dead servicemen and women of all wars. It started out, I believe what Chad showed, it started out as just the fallen warriors from the Civil War. And the South didn't even recognize it at first for a long time. But then after one of the world wars, was it one or two? One of them. They declared, you know, it used to be called Decoration Day. And they declared it's Memorial Day, and they're going to honor the fallen servicemen and women of all wars. And it's been that way since then. So I also looked up a word called respect. To feel or show honor or esteem for, to consider or treat with deference or dutiful regard. And I want to tell you that as your pastor, if you don't already know, I don't know why you don't, but I have the utmost respect for our men and women of our service. Amen. I have been to Arlington National Cemetery. I've been to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier and saw the changing of the guard. I've been to the Vietnam War Memorial and saw the countless names of the fallen men and women. I've been to the USS Arizona in Hawaii at Pearl Harbor. I've been to the National Memorial Cemetery of the Pacific, also known as the Punch Bowl of the Pacific. I've been to many of the cemeteries dedicated to the men and women who died in the Revolutionary War. I stood among the countless tombstones of the men and women who gave their lives for the cause of freedom. I get teary-eyed when I watch those videos of moms and dads returning home to surprise their children or spouses from overseas. I get all mushy thinking about the warriors who return home maimed and missing limbs and so forth. I am a patriot, and I have much respect for the men and women who have served and are currently serving this great country through the armed services. I'm grateful for their sacrifices. And I have a sense of pride when I think about our warriors who stand in the gap on behalf of myself, who stand in the gap for me. And today we honor them. King David had a list of his warriors too. We had a list of our warriors. King David had a list of his warriors, and we're going to turn there. If you'll turn in 2 Samuel chapter 23. Not going to read the entire chapter because but there's a bunch of it. Now, this is a passage that I'm not sure I've ever preached on the whole passage before, because it's really just a list of names and exploits and that kind of stuff. And it's hard to, you know, sometimes you think of, well, what do I preach on that? How to raise up a spear and kill 800 men? You know, it's hard to pull some stuff out of here sometimes. But today it's very, very fitting. And I want to read verse 8 through about 21. These are the names of David's mighty men: Josheb, Bashabeth, a Tekemite, who was chief of the three. He raised his spear against 800 men, whom he killed in one encounter. Next to him was Eleazar, son of Dodai, the Aaronite. As one of the three mighty men, He was with David when they taunted the Philistines gathered at Pasdamim for battle. Then the men of Israel retreated, but he stood his ground and struck down the Philistines till his hand grew tired and froze to the sword. The Lord brought about a great victory that day. The troops returned to Eleazar, but only to strip the dead. Next to him was Shammah, son of Agee the Harite. When the Philistines banded together at a place where there was a field full of lentils, Israel's troops fled from them. But Shammah took his stand in the middle of the field. He defended it and struck the Philistines down, and the Lord brought about a great victory. During harvest time, three of the 30 chief men came down to David at a cave of Adullam, while a band of Philistines was encamped in the valley of Rephaim. At that time, David was in the stronghold, and the Philistine garrison was at Bethlehem. David longed for water and said, "Oh, that someone would bring me a drink of water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem." So the three mighty men broke through the Philistine lines, drew water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem, and carried it back to David. But he refused to drink it. Instead, he poured it out before the Lord. "Far be it from me, O Lord, to do this," he said. "Is it not the blood of men who went at the risk of their lives?" And David would not drink it. Such were the exploits of the three mighty men. Abishai, the brother of Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was chief of the three. He raised his spear against the 300 men whom he killed, and he also became as famous as the three. Was he not held in greater honor than the three? He became their commander, even though he was not included among them. Benai, son of Jehoiada, was a valiant fighter from Kabzeel who performed great exploits. He struck down two of Moab's best men. He also went down into a pit on a snowy day and killed a lion. And he struck down a huge Egyptian, although the Egyptian had a spear in his hand. Benai went against him with a club. He snatched the spear from the Egyptian's hand and killed him with his own spear. I think maybe one of the reasons this passage is not preached so much is because the names are so hard to pronounce. It would have been simpler if it had been Jim and Bob and Billy Joe, right? But this passage, from verse 24 all the way through the end of the chapter, we're not going to take time to read that this morning, but all the way through there, it lists David's mighty men, the special forces of his days. These were the Green Berets, the Navy SEALs. They were the special forces of King David's day. Do you ever wonder why the Spirit of God moved the writers of Scripture to include the names and exploits of the freedom fighters of Israel in this book? Could it be to give honor where honor is due? Could it be that he wanted you and I, many hundreds, even thousands of years later, to know them and respect them for their efforts to preserve his plan for the ages? There is value in remembering those who offered themselves for the cause of freedom. There's value in that. Freedom is a peculiar thing, though. You see, there are those around the world who have lived in freedom, only to wake up the next day and find that they're no longer free. Somebody has moved in. Somebody has taken over, and they're no longer free. That's just read the story of the world wars. Happened time and time again. The men and women who fought for that freedom accomplished a great thing, but it was not guaranteed forever because sometime later somebody else came along and took that freedom back. I want to submit to you today, though, that there is one who has given his life for freedom, and that freedom can never be taken away. On lonely Golgotha stood a cross with our Lord raised to the sky. And all who kneel there live forever, as all the saved can testify. I'm so glad to be called a Christian, to be named with the ransomed and whole. As the statue liberates the citizen, so the cross liberates the soul. Amen. I don't want to take away from honoring the servicemen and women on this Memorial Day weekend. However, I don't want us to miss out on honoring the one who has guaranteed our eternal freedom, which no other person could have done. Let us honor Jesus Christ today. Amen. For his sacrifice and show him appreciation for what he's done for you and for me. You see, Scripture's clear. And it says, it tells us that, none of us is good enough to get into heaven because of sin. Did you know that? None of us is good enough to get into heaven because of sin. Every one of us has sinned. The Bible says that we've all fallen short of the glory of God, every single one of us. It has made us enemies of God. And the only way to clear that up is it takes a blood sacrifice. God requires a blood sacrifice to cleanse sin, but only a perfect sacrifice would do. So he sent his son Jesus to be that sacrifice for you and I some 2,000 years ago. We believe in the resurrection, or when we believe in the resurrection of Jesus as the Son of God and confess him as our Lord and our Savior, see, we receive the freedom that I spoke of. Eternal freedom from the consequences of sin in God's eyes. And I'm not talking about a freedom to sin. You know, I'm not saying that we now, because of Jesus, now we have the freedom and we're not held accountable anymore, so we just do what we want. That's not freedom. That's bondage to sin. And Christ came to free us from the bondage of sin. But that doesn't happen unless you place yourself under his protection and under his power. And if you want to do that, I'd love to talk to you about it this morning. Nothing more than I'd love to do. It is possible that you may be here today and you've received that freedom that Jesus offers, but you find yourself still living in bondage, like a slave to sin. It's possible that you, at some point in your life, you submitted to the lordship of Jesus Christ, but somehow, somewhere, you kind of pulled back the reins a little bit and, tried to steal some reins back from God and said, you know what, but I didn't think that through real good, and I need to think about that again, because I want you to be my Savior. I'm just not real excited to let you be my Lord right now, because I got some things I want to do I know you don't approve of, but I want to do them anyway, so please save me, but don't hold me accountable for what I want to do here. And you see, it just doesn't work that way. We throw those two words together real fast. Jesus is my Lord and Savior, almost like as if it's one word. But folks, listen, there's a big difference between Lord and Savior, and he needs to be both. He says, I'm not just going to be one without being the other. I will save you, but I will also be your Lord. I guess it raises the question, can he be your Savior without being your Lord? No, he cannot. He cannot. That's the price of freedom. He paid the price, but yet we must still pay a price to live in that freedom. What is that price? Sacrifice of ourselves. We have to give of ourselves. We have to say, Lord, I trust in you, and I want to follow you, and I know the things that I want to do. See, Paul struggled with this too. He says, the things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, I find myself doing. I struggle with it, and the truth is, so do you and I. We do. Your pastor struggles with that, but I know who my Savior is. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. But it takes daily me making the sacrifice of myself to follow and to live in his freedom that he offers. You see, the freedom, like I said, freedom isn't free. And it costs somebody dearly. And in this case, it cost Jesus Christ his very life. And he gave it for you. And for you. And for you. And for you, for everybody else I didn't point at, he gave his life for you. Would you receive it? He wants to set you free. Would you want to be free? If that's you, you need to know that there's power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. We sung that song before. Break every chain. Break every chain. There's power to break every chain. But that doesn't happen unless you place yourself in a position for him to break every chain. Come today. Come to the altar and lay your chains on the anvil and allow Jesus to sever the things that are holding you down or holding you back. You see, the truth is, sometimes our sin is is holding us down, and it's suppressing us and beating us down, and we feel guilty, and we feel bad, and we feel dirty, we feel unworthy. Yeah? Can anybody relate? Yeah, okay. And then sometimes it's holding us back. God wants more for us, wants to do more in us and through us. And sometimes the sin is being, we're holding ourselves back, be it from pride, embarrassment, whatever it is. We feel that we would just want to be quiet and reserved, and if we'll be real quiet, nobody will even notice that I'm here. You see, but that's not the kind of life God has called you to live either. He's called you to be bold. He's called you to go. Give of yourself. And I'm looking right at these kids because they're a perfect example of what I'm talking about. He's called us to go and work, go and be, go and minister, go and love somebody else. Somebody you don't even know. Go do those things. But sometimes we think, well, that's just for those other people. I pay my tithe to the church. They send it to the International Mission Board, and they go and do those things. They're the missionaries. They go do the work. And I'm going to sit here and quietly and just feel good about supporting them. Yeah, well, guess what, folks? That's not in the Scripture. He said, go. Go. Where? Everywhere. Into all the world. If you're not signed up for mission trip, you need to be signed up. Christ died for freedom. For your freedom. Will you live in that freedom? It's yours for the taking. Today, you come as the Holy Spirit prompts you. Don't be chained to your chair. Be free. Be free today. Maybe Rebecca's not here. Usually Rebecca comes and stands with me. That way if a woman wants to come and pray, she's here and there for that. Well, she's not here today, so this is what you got. I'm going to be standing here in the front. If you'd like to come and request prayer, and I'd love to pray with you. If you need to just come to the altar, by all means, you come to the altar. If you have trouble kneeling, you just feel the Lord leads you to do that. But my prayer bench is right over here. It's easy to get up and down from. This is your time to do those things. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, and maybe you don't even understand what all that means, but you know that there's something inside you that's telling you you're not okay. There's something blocking the communication between you and God, and you know that, but you don't know what to do about it. Oh, just come. Let me walk through that with you. I'll show you the Scriptures. I'll talk with you and pray with you, and we'll just see what happens there. I'd love to have that opportunity to do that with you. Maybe you just need to come. You don't need me. See, I'm not an in-between. I'm not a go-between. You have direct access to the Father yourselves. And maybe you just need to come to the altar and spend some time at the altar. And you just need to lay some things before the Lord and listen to Him and hear what He has to say to you. Because you know that prayer is a two-way communication, right? You know that, right? Sometimes we think prayer is, we sit down, we kneel down, and we say, God, here's what I need. I need this and this and this and this and this, and I really want that. And I want that, and help these people, and God bless this. Amen. Whew, I've prayed. But we've never sat and listened to the conversation from the other end. Maybe you need to do that this morning. Whatever your need is, this is your time. This is called the invitation time. And that's it. You are invited to respond to whatever the Holy Spirit is talking to you about right now. And the chances are, and more probable, that He's saying something to you and saying something different to you and saying something different to you and something completely, totally different to somebody back there. But it's your responsibility to respond to what He's telling you. This is your time. Father in heaven, Lord, hear us as we pray. Hear us as we cry out to you, Father. We thank you for freedom. We thank you for what you have done on the cross to purchase our freedom. Father, let us never take that lightly. Let us never take that as a license to sin. Father, may we feel compelled to honor you for your sacrifice. And may we live a life of sacrifice and then a life that honors you through that sacrifice. Father, help us now. Father, help us to set away our fears and our worries, Lord. Help us to come and lay the chains on the altar and say, Lord, break every chain. Break it away. We don't want to be bound down. We don't want to be tied down, Father. You purchased us freedom. Father, help us to live in that freedom And help us, if we've not been doing that, Father, help us to start it today in Jesus' name. Amen. You stand as we sing.